I don't know much about my history before my grandparents arrived here from Europe, but I carry some of that history in my genes. History that goes way back to when Homo sapiens mixed with the Neanderthals. If you send $99 and some saliva to a DNA analysis and data bank like 23andMe, they'll send you your genetic history, even information about unknown third cousins in, say, Iowa or Ireland. And they'll also send you a set of probabilities of your odds of developing certain diseases, of being sensitive to certain medications, of sneezing in sunlight, and so on. They'll also keep and continue to crunch your genetic data. I decided to send saliva to 23andMe, and so did OTM producer PJ Vogt. When we got the test kits, we went into the studio to talk about it. You'll also hear senior producer Katya Rogers and former OTM producer Jamie York. Okay, so let's tear them open.
All right.
PJ,
yeah.
Why do you want to do this?
Well, it's basically just for very small and petty reasons, and I feel like maybe I'm uncorking something that I haven't thought hard enough about. You know that I drink a lot of Diet Coke every day?
Oh, yeah.
And I read this thing where Peter Orszag, who used to be Obama's budget guy, he also does, and he took this test and found out that he has a – this is really medical looking – he has a genetic thing that lets him metabolize caffeine faster. So this thing that he's doing – actually makes sense because of his chemistry or whatever. The other thing is I'm in a fight with my mom about a food allergy that she believes that I have that I don't believe that I have, and it would be nice to have proof.
So that's why you wanted to do this?
That's what got me started on it.
For me, it's pretty different.
What's yours?
Well, initially, I just wanted to know how much Neanderthal DNA I had. But I also think that I'll find all sorts of information useful. I mean, the big difference... well, there are lots of differences between us, PJ, but one of them is 30 years. And for you, the likelihood of, say, developing Alzheimer's is more academic than I think it is for me.
Doesn't that make you kind of not want to do it, though? I mean, if you can't do anything to prevent these things, then...
if you're on the alert for it, then you don't have to go through the agonizing process of dragging everyone else through it for a prolonged period of time when you don't actually have any real quality of life.
But you do have to go through the agony of, like, I don't know, knowing that...
you know, I started wearing black on my 13th birthday, PJ. In fact, it will, I hope, give me a greater appreciation for the good health that I currently have.
Okay, so you guys are sitting there talking about what you want from the test. What about your families? Don't they have any say in it?
No.
Nothing.
I mean, the information is for me. I don't have to share any of this with anybody if I don't want to.
I wouldn't do it.
Why not?
Because if I did it and I found out something that was going to be coming down the line at me, like Parkinson's or something, when would I tell my kids? Or my partner? That's going to be his life too.
I have to say, I don't get it. I always want to know.
One of my friends that I grew up with had cystic fibrosis, so knew that there was a clock ticking, and it was really defining. Like, it was the thing, you know, the first thing you'd say about a person would be that. Like, knowing probably how you're going to die and when you're going to die, I don't think it does make you live more or appreciate things more. I think I have this fantasy that I would find out that I knew how much time I had, and in doing that, I would spend it better than knowing abstractly that I'm going to die. And I don't think that's true. I think death kind of crowds everything else out.
Sitting next to you right now is Jamie York. I'm just wondering, your father was adopted, right?
My father was adopted twice. My mother's father was adopted.
So that leaves you with no knowledge of like three quarters of your genetic code. Would you be interested in doing something like this?
No. I find the prospects of it absolutely terrifying.
Why?
I don't want to know what's coming. I can rationally understand the argument. I don't have the psychological fortitude to compartmentalize that information. You know, my mom died when she was 56. So by your argument, if I had known that she had a high propensity for something that might kill her when she was young, then in theory I could have made use of that information.
More to the point, she could have.
She could have. But I don't think she could have lived her life differently. And I don't think I could have sort of managed that information. I think it would haunt me.
Mm-hmm.
My probably greatest fear is something like Huntington's that comes on in your late 40s and is irreversible and untreatable. I don't want any part of that.
I think that fundamentally what motivates me more than anything is curiosity.
You've got such a firm foundation of existential dread that there's nothing that could really disrupt it. Is that what you're saying?
Yeah, pretty much.
Yeah. It's kind of a cliche, but I think it probably just heightens our kind of emotional predispositions anyway.
Like anything else.
Yeah.
Yeah. Once you know you can find out, you have to find out.
Should we spit?
Okay. I'm doing it now. This is radio gold. People are really going to like the sound of us spitting into plastic tubes. Is yours turning red?
Mm-mm.
Huh. Probably doesn't mean anything. Am I bleeding?
That's taken forever.
Yeah, it says nothing about red.
It's probably blood. You'll probably be fine.
It's probably blood. You'll probably be fine.
Okay.
All right. I keep my sample. You keep your sample. Oh, so Brooke, we're not, mm-hmm. First of all, we didn't do this in the state of New York because we're not legally allowed to.
Why not?
Because New York has strict regulations about who's allowed to test and collect DNA. So we did this in another state where that's legal, and then we're going to find out our futures.
We won't. We'll just find out a set of probabilities.
I want to know exactly what's going to happen.
Yeah, that's not going to happen.
You come to the New Yorker Radio Hour for conversations that go deeper with people you really want to hear from, whether it's Bruce Springsteen or Questlove or Olivia Rodrigo, Liz Cheney, or the godfather of artificial intelligence, Jeffrey Hinton, or some of my extraordinarily well-informed colleagues at the New Yorker. So join us every week on the New Yorker Radio Hour, wherever you listen to podcasts.